Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, August 25th. EIA, PB oil output to set new record. Permian expected to produce 5.4 million barrels of crude per day in September. The story was written by Mella McEwen. America's most prolific oil and gas basin, the Permian, is forecast to be even more prolific. The Energy Information Administration predicted in its productivity report earlier this month that the Permian would reach a record high 5.4 million barrels a day of crude in September, a gain of 79,000 barrels a day. Quote, "I think we'll get there," Ken Waitz, president and chief executive officer of Mewbourne Oil, told a Reporter Telegram by telephone from his Tyler office. Quote, "This is an amazing, resilient industry," added Waitz, whose company is one of the top Permian drillers and active in the region for 57 years. Quote, "Everyone wants to invest and be in the Permian," he continued. "It's the best place to be. There are more rigs in the Permian Basin and more capital allocation than any other basin. You'll see companies continue to invest capital in the Permian," end quote. Stephen Sagriff, Vice President, Intelligence at the energy-focused software-as-a-service firm Enverus, told a Reporter Telegram by email, "A significant part of the production growth story is the aggressive ramp-up in activity among private operators and the majors." Quote, "Both Chevron and ExxonMobil guided to double-digit growth this year in the Permian and are both aiming for double-digit compound annual growth rate, CAGRs, over the next 4 to 5 years," he wrote. Private operators in particular have increased their share of active rigs in the basin from about 20% pre-COVID to about 50% today, end quote. Sagriff noted the large-cap independents like Devon and EOG are growing their Permian assets, quote, "even though at the corporate level they have guided to flat to low single-digit growth, just given the increased capital allocation to the Permian as a percentage of their total outlay," end quote. Smaller independents like Continental Resource Development, High Peak, and Matador have also guided to outsized growth in the Permian, 10% or more year over year, he wrote. "As a group, all private operators are a massive part of the production growth story," Sagriff wrote. Morales says Mayor will run about serving Midland. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Quote, "This is our community. It gets successful when we try to better it." Those were the comments from former Mayor Jerry Morales, who has filed to be on the mayoral ballot on November 8th. Morales will compete with Lori Blong and Robert Allen Dixon. Morales told the Reporter Telegram he got in the race because of the outreach from so many. The calls helped him realize there is a desire to serve again. Quote, "I have a desire to get the seat back," Morales said. "I have been in the service industry all my life and enjoy working with people and putting smiles on people's faces. When I was mayor, we did a great job working together to make the city as one, to unify the community," end quote. He will campaign on the everyday issues, roads, housing, infrastructure, and quality of life. He said communication, teamwork, leadership, and transparency are part of the city leadership team he oversaw and qualities he will bring back to City Hall. Quote, "I feel it is lacking," Morales said. "There is not a vision," end quote. Communication efforts include bringing the tax entities together to help get that overview of where the Midland community needs to go. Morales oversaw a council in the last decade with strong personalities and a record of accomplishment. Home and apartment building during his time helped Midland catch up from the days of Midland having the highest rents in the state. Action also was taken on roads, water, and parks. He said the council should be there to oversee managers and department directors inside City Hall to fulfill goals. The end result, he said, will be a stronger, more vibrant Midland. Morales says he is in the process of selling his three restaurants to his son. The 57-year-old said the next step of his life is as a licensed insurance agent with Morales and Mays Financial Services. Over the years, Morales has served as the board president of the Texas Restaurant Association, a member of the Midland Development Corporation, and worked with numerous nonprofits and other entities across Midland. Small Bites, Friday Night Eateries in Big Spring. Restaurants offer Texas barbecue, Tex-Mex, steaks, hamburgers, and more. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Beginning Thursday, Midlanders will be traveling around the Permian Basin to watch those Friday night rivalries drenched in school spirit. Yet, late nights mean trying to find a bite to eat. From quicker, hole-in-the-wall spots to fancier sit-down meals, here's a list of locally owned and operated restaurants located in Big Spring to try during your football season adventures. Big John's Feed Lot. Looking for an array of Texas barbecue? Big John's Feed Lot offers smoked turkey, pork, chicken or ham, brisket, sausage, jalapeno sausage, and pork ribs. Guests can order their barbecue plate style along with three sides, potato salad, beans, coleslaw, or mac salad, or on a bun with one side. The restaurant also offers hoagie sandwiches, cowboy burgers, Texas treats such as chicken strips or fried pork chops, or even street tacos. Appetizers include crack dip and chips, fried pickles, and wings. For more information on the loaded menu, check out the lot's website through the website link located on Facebook at facebook.com/BBQBYBrenda. The restaurant, 802 West 3rd Street, is open 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Fridays. Cowboys Steakhouse and Restaurant. The 2022 winner for Best Hamburger in the Big Spring Herald Reader's Choice Awards, Cowboys Steakhouse and Restaurant, offers small and large-sized beef patties. Possible add-ons include onions, jalapenos, chili, barbecue sauce, and even on the burger mac and cheese. Other sandwich choices include an ultimate grilled cheese, BLT, grilled chicken, and more. House specialties contain classics such as chicken fried chicken and steak fingers. However, the most intriguing item would be the loaded baked potatoes. Spuds come with all the fixings, plus your choice of chicken fajita, grilled chicken, chili and cheese, Philly steak, barbecue, or sirloin. The restaurant also has a wide variety of seafood, such as grilled salmon and fried catfish. See the rest of the menu at facebook.com/Cowboy Steakhouse ANDR. The restaurant at 404 East Marcy Drive is open from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. on Fridays. Alberto's. Family-owned and operated since 1974, Alberto's serves up a large selection sure to satisfy your Tex-Mex cravings. Burritos, tacos, tamales, nachos, fajitas, and enchiladas make up part of the menu. Platters, which includes chili relleno and chicken flautas, offer bigger portions while chef's suggestions cover everything from a ribeye steak and chicken fingers to beef or chicken quesadillas. The West Texas restaurant also offers burgers and salads. Finish your evening with one of the following dessert choices: ice creams coupe, sopapillas, chocolate brownie, or New York cheesecake. For alcohol, Alberto's serves 14 beers and 4 fruity margaritas. For more menu details, visit albertoscrystalcafe.com/menu. The restaurant at 802 West 3rd Street is open 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Fridays. Settles Grill. Located inside the Settles Hotel, this fine dining establishment packs their menu with hearty West Texas comfort foods. The Settles Grill serves chicken fried steak, chopped hamburger steak, garlic herb chicken breast, blackened salmon, New York strip loin, ribeye steak, and steak frites under its large plates agenda. Other items include a burger, hot chicken sandwich, and an avocado club, as well as a house salad and jalapeno Caesar salad. Starters range from fried Brussels sprouts to chicken wings. For specialty drinks, check out the hotel's pharmacy bar and parlor. See the entire menu at hotelsettles.com/dining/settles-grill. The restaurant, 200 East 3rd Street, is open 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Fridays.
Here's another article from the inside pages of the Odessa American, Thursday, August 25th. Local news roundup. Man accused of sexual assault. A 37-year-old Odessa man accused of raping one girl and sexually abusing another was arrested Saturday and remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $60,000. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman called 911 around 3:30 a.m. Saturday after she found a 14-year-old girl crying in the shower, and the girl told her Joshua Clark had raped her. The child was taken to Harmony Home Child Advocacy Center, and she told a forensic examiner that a drunken Clark came into her bedroom 2 hours earlier and raped her, police documents stated. She reported he had covered her mouth at one point because she was making too much noise. During the investigation, a 16-year-old girl told detectives Clark had forced her to touch him inappropriately on several occasions between 7th and 9th grade, according to the report. Clark, who appeared to be intoxicated, declined to speak with police, the report stated. He was arrested on suspicion of indecency with a child by sexual contact and sexual assault of a child. Each charge is a Class 2 felony, punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years. Man arrested on suspicion of deadly conduct. Someone staying at a local motel escaped injury last month, despite a bullet being fired into their room and traveling all the way through it. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an employee of the Homewood Suites on Tres Hermanas called 911 shortly before midnight, July 23rd, to report a shot had been fired. When officers arrived, they spoke with the occupant of room 234 and found a bullet had entered the room from the south wall, traveled through the north wall, and lodged itself in a linen closet just north of the room, the report stated. Officers discovered a shell casing in the adjacent room. They also learned 5 people had been in the adjacent room that night, but 3 of them had left before the shot was fired. According to the report, officers saw the other 2 leave the hotel out a back door just before the 911 call was made without checking to see if anyone was injured by the shot. When interviewed, Isaac Rene Aguayes, 20, admitted he was drunk and the gun discharged when he was sliding the slide on the firearm back, the report stated. He also allowed officers to take the gun as evidence. Aguayes was arrested Monday on suspicion of deadly conduct, a Class A misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail. He was released from the Ector County Jail on a $1,000 surety bond. Woman arrested on child endangerment. An Odessa woman was arrested on a child endangerment charge last week after authorities learned she had taken a 12-year-old relative to 4 different hospitals over a 3-day period, insisting they examine her for evidence of sexual assault. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Angela Nicole Fields, 34, took the child to Medical Center Hospital on July 25th because she feared the girl had been sexually abused by another relative. Fields insisted an exam be conducted by a sexual assault nurse examiner, despite the fact the girl had never told anyone she was the victim of abuse. When hospital personnel declined to perform the test, Fields repeatedly yelled at the child and repeatedly asked her if she had been abused, and the girl said no. When Fields was told the hospital could only do such exams if authorized by the police department, she took the child to Midland Memorial, and hospital personnel there also declined to perform the test because the girl had not made an outcry. According to the report, Fields took the girl to University Medical Center Hospital in Lubbock the next day. The girl told the attending doctor a male relative would sometimes give her drinks and she felt pain in her vaginal area upon waking up. Blood tests showed barbiturates in her system and a SANE exam was performed, but no trauma was found. Fields became angry upon hearing the results, insisting the test be readministered, and called the SANE incompetent, according to the report. On July 27th, Fields took the child to Dallas for another SANE exam. According to the report, she contacted prosecutors there, said her relative had been raped, and the Odessa Police Department was refusing to help her. Fields was arrested on a child endangerment charge August 18th. According to the report, Fields intentionally, knowingly, recklessly, or with criminal negligence, by act or omission, engaged in conduct that places the child in imminent danger of death, bodily injury, physical, or mental impairment. She was released from the Ector County Jail the next day after posting a $3,000 surety bond. The charge is a state jail felony, punishable by a prison sentence of 6 months to 2 years. Man arrested on two counts of aggravated assault. An Odessa man was arrested last week after two people said he purposely T-boned their vehicle and pointed a gun at them. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a 19-year-old Odessa man said he parked in the 3700 block of Bowie around 8 p.m. August 16th to wait for his child and said his child's mother to come inside. He said David Veliz, 39, drove directly at him and his 17-year-old passenger in a white Cadillac Escalade, hit their Nissan Altima, and then pointed a gun at them after getting out of the caddy. The teenager with the man gave police the same story. When questioned, Veliz said he didn't want the teenagers by the house because of past problems and he had only intended to scare them, not hit them, according to the report. He denied pointing a gun at them. Video surveillance showed Veliz driving at the Altima and stepping out of the vehicle, according to the report. Officers also saw white paint on the Altima's driver's side mirror, the report stated. During a subsequent search of the house on Bowie, police found a rifle and ammunition. According to the report, police also found more than 5 pounds of marijuana in a Ford Expedition that Veliz admitted was his. Veliz was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and possession of marijuana more than 5 pounds, less than 50 pounds. The aggravated assault charges carry a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years, and the marijuana charge is punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 10 years. Accused thief released on bond. A 38-year-old man was arrested Tuesday night after a Gilmer man said he caught him trying to steal his truck, tractor, and trailer. According to an Odessa Police Department report, someone called 911 from the Knights Inn on West Interstate 20 around 8 p.m. Tuesday about a disturbance. When police arrived, the Gilmer man told officers that he left his 2017 Peterbilt 587 running to do a system shutdown while he was unloading his groceries, and when he got back, he found a man sitting in the driver's seat trying to drive off with the truck and the attached belly dump trailer, the report stated. The trucker said he pulled the man out and the man started to walk away just as officers arrived, the report stated. The officers detained the man, who was identified as Luis Arturo Lopez of Odessa. He told officers his boss had asked him to pick up the truck and trailer, but wasn't able to prove his story, the report stated. Officers noticed the power and air lines were not connected to the trailer, and the trailer's landing gear was down. They also saw there were tire drag marks in the ground where the truck had been put into drive and dragged the trailer, according to the report. Lopez was arrested on suspicion of theft of property valued at more than $150,000, but less than $300,000, a Class 2 felony punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years. He remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday night on a $40,000 surety bond. Online jail records show Lopez was released from jail last week after posting a $225 surety bond in a public intoxication case. OHS student stabbed during fight. ECISD police are investigating a fight between two Odessa high school students, one of whom was stabbed during the altercation. A news release detailed that the two boys agreed to a fight near the end of the school day. The student who was stabbed was transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The other is being sought. Other students and staff members at the school were not threatened. ECISD officers and the Odessa Police Department are still investigating this situation, the release said. School leaders want to assure parents this behavior is unacceptable and they will take extra precautions as classes resume today. Students are urged to alert an adult on campus if they see or hear anything out of the ordinary or trouble between students, the release said. The safety of students and staff members is top priority at Odessa High School and in all ECISD schools. Police lauded OHS staff members for following response protocols that helped ensure dismissal was orderly and safe as school ended and classes released for the day, the release stated. Midland Reporter-Telegram opinion page, Thursday, August 25th. Opinion Extra, staff columnist. MC Board comes up with logical solution on aviation program, by Stuart Doreen. Thank you to Midland College leadership and the College Board of Trustees for such a logical solution to the Aviation Maintenance Technology Program's situation. The board had previously decided to close shop on the program, but recently there was a discussion from some, including Ed Anderson, about the need for a program and the opportunity it could provide an aviation and aerospace-rich community like Midland. Instead of stating a decision made previously will stand and there was no need to look at what was possible, the board took a different road, one that we believe will allow the process to determine the program's fate. The program will have to meet certain metrics and then be evaluated at a later time. It's being called a conditional reopening. There will be a revamped advisory committee and robust marketing and student recruitment efforts. The college will put together funding and other measures include that the updated curriculum will have to be in compliance with Federal Aviation Administration standards. Annual unduplicated enrollment would have to rise to 50 students and monthly updates would be presented to the board, with a viability assessment to be held in the spring of 2025, according to Mella McEwen's report in the Wednesday Reporter-Telegram. But here's the kicker. If the program is to succeed, really succeed, it will happen because the community contributes. External funding will have to be secured for the program to thrive. The aviation community itself will have to show support for the program. After all, aerospace companies like Kepler Aerospace and Ast and Science and charter aircraft companies like Deerhorn Aviation will benefit if there is homegrown talent ready to join the workforce. Midland will put its best foot forward and then we'll see if the program really is a valuable asset. MRT to have MISD and city election forums in October, by Stuart Doreen. The Midland Reporter-Telegram will be the ultimate source for information leading up to the City of Midland and Midland ISD elections on November 8th. The Reporter-Telegram is pleased to announce that Midland College again will allow us to use the Carrasco Room for MISD and city forums on October 18th, Midland ISD, and October 20th, City of Midland. Those forums will provide an opportunity to allow potential voters to see candidates answer questions live in person and on MRT.com. The Reporter-Telegram also will run opinion articles from the candidates about the biggest issues of the day. Those will be in the weekend edition and on MRT.com for the community to read. Lastly, the Reporter-Telegram will offer anyone wanting to write a letter to the editor for their favorite candidate. Here are guidelines about candidate letters. no more than 200 words. Email to SDOREEN at HEARSTNP.com. Sent in a Word file. Includes a phone number and name so the letter can be verified. Sent by noon Thursday for the following weekend edition. A person can run a letter every 30 days.
Hello, this is Cindy reading the entertainment in brief from the MRT for Thursday. Attend the Midland County Fair. A community staple, the Midland County Fair provides 4 days of pure fun, full of carnival rides, vendors, treats, and entertainment. For the 13th annual celebration, the fair introduced an app, available at app.midlandcofair.com, where patrons can buy tickets early, see a detailed schedule of events, read about artists, and more. Some of this year's events include a hot dog eating contest, a petting zoo, goat roping, mascot photo ops, pet parade, bull riding, Little Miss and Mr. Pageant, and remote control car racing. Some musical guests include electric country blues duo Aaron Harp and Jim Countryman, Sonia Cortez and Hope Fest, a music festival made up of 4 Christian bands. As for entertainment guests, comedic magician the great Cardani and strongman John Beatty remain at the top of the list. Tickets change based on time and day, so make sure to check the app or the fact sheet to be prepared. Thursday through Sunday, August 28th, 2514 Arena Trail. Dance at the House Party on the Rooftop. Back for Round 2, the DoubleTree located downtown, in partnership with a group of Tall City artists known as Artworks Midland, will host a house party on the rooftop for a 21 and up crowd. 4 DJs, Faceless Dance with Madrid, James Boogie, and Melodic Lake, will take the stage, filling the 5-hour set with the hypnotizing sounds of repetitive beats and good vibrations. The night will also include live body art and a full bar. Expect a $10 cover charge before entering the third floor sky view area. Saturday, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., 117 West Wall Street. Run or walk a 5K. Kicking off the first Fly Into Fall event at Midland Air Park, the Midland Athletic Company and the City of Midland have partnered up to create Run for the Runways 5K and 1 mile. The race will start at the air park, loop around Clydesta Plaza, and finish at the Fly Into Fall checkered flag. A family-friendly event, Fly Into Fall, hopes to bring attention to the air park operations while inspiring future pilots, mechanics, and other aviation personnel. On display, attendees and racers can expect aircraft and helicopters, airport fire trucks, and classic cars. Interactive displays include flight simulators, drone obstacle courses, and even air traffic control. There will also be food trucks, coffee, and more. Racers can pick up their packets on from noon to 4 p.m. on Friday at 3326 North Midkiff Road, or Saturday from 6:45 a.m. to 8 a.m. before the whistle blows. The entry fee is $30. Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., 901 Veterans Air Park Lane. 2022 Midland County Fair Fast Facts by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Back for the 13th year, the Midland County Fair will take place Thursday through Sunday at the Horseshoe Complex. This year's festivities include 34 carnival rides, 17 different performers, and 376 farm animals. Here's what to expect. Tickets, 5 p.m. to midnight, Thursday. The fair will be carnival only with the option for a $25 unlimited ride pass. Friday, tickets will be $5 from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. for an early bird hours special. Tickets will be $9 after 5 p.m. A $35 unlimited ride pass will be available. Saturday, expect $9 tickets until 5 p.m. They increase to $14 in the evening. A $35 unlimited ride pass will be available. Sunday, tickets will be $9 all day. Schedule. This year, the Carnival is introducing an app that can be downloaded at app.midlandcofair.com. There, patrons can find a detailed schedule of all events, a link to buy tickets ahead of time, and even performer bios. Performers. From concerts to the strongman, John Beatty, the 2022 bill comes stacked. Some of this year's featured events include Hope Fest, a four-artist Christian concert on Saturday, the first Chariata VIP event on Sunday, magician The Great Cardenny, Aaron Harp Country Blues Duo, Jason Boland and the Stragglers, and more. Rides, vendors, animals. Festival goers can expect the classic amusement park rides, such as a Ferris wheel and spinners. As for vendors, there will be 40-plus booths filled with foods, artisans, crafts, and more set up inside at the Horseshoe. Besides the petting zoo, other animal-based events include Rodeo 101 and bull riding. For any other information, such as how to become a vendor, sponsor, or volunteer, make sure to check out the app, app.midlandcofair.com, or the Midland County Fair website. Community Calendar, Midland Community Theater. Summer Mummers, Yucca Theater, Friday and Saturday, and September 2nd to the 3rd. Museum of the Southwest, Midland Downtown Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Saturday. Frida Kahlo Playdate, Friday, ages 0 through 2, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., ages 3 to 5, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Dome Theater, Friday. Enchanted Reef, Sensory Dome, August 29th. September Fest, September 9th through the 11th. Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Robert Earl Keen, World Tour of Texas, Friday. Jay Owen House, Saturday. Charlie Crockett, Sunday. Disney Junior Live on Tour, Costume Palooza, September 6th. Travis Tritt with the War Hippies, September 7th. Your West Texas Symphony, Masterwork Series, September 10th. Tesla, September 12th. Through the Years with the Kenny Rogers Band, September 13th. George Thorogood and the Destroyers, September 14th. Philippe Esparza, September 16th. Kevin James, September 30th. Windwalker Farms, Boy Scouts Clay Shoot, Friday. Archway Outreach Clay Shoot, Saturday. Freedom Service Dogs Clay Shoot, September 16th. Black Gold Registered Shoot, September 24th through the 25th. Horseshoe, Midland County Fair, Thursday through Sunday. Job Fair, September 7th. West Texas Blowout, September 9th. Wine, Women, and Shoes, September 15th. Showbiz West Texas, September 17th. Ria Lana, September 24th through the 28th. The monthly Parkinson's disease meeting is as follows. 5:30 p.m. First Tuesday, Mid-Cities Church. For more information, call 432-684-3999.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, August 25th. Alfred Joseph Boudreau passed away Tuesday, August 23rd, surrounded by his children. A memorial service will be held on Tuesday, August 30th at 1 p.m. at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Al was born December 28, 1941, in Abbeville, Louisiana, to Frank Lewis and Leon Hébert Boudreau. He grew up in Abbeville. In 1970, he began his career as a mud salesman for Milchem, where he would eventually be transferred to Texas. Al owned his own company during his sales career and eventually sold. In 2010, after 50 years in the oil and gas industry, Al took retirement. Al spent many years volunteering for High Sky Children's Ranch and RHCC, where he served on the board of directors, St. Anne's Catholic Church and School, St. Stephen's Catholic Church, and Midland Senior High School back in the 80s. In 2011, he decided to return to work and joined Anchor Drilling Fluids USA until 2019. Al met the love of his life, Darlene Marie Place, and they were married October 5, 1963, in a small ceremony at St. Mary Magdalene Church in Abbeville, Louisiana. Al is preceded in death by his parents, Frank and Leon Boudreau, his wife, Darlene Marie Boudreau, brother, Frank Boudreau, sister-in-law, Cheryl Boudreau. Al is survived by his children, Reese Lewis Boudreau, and his wife, Allison, Pamela Margaret Stewart and husband, Billy, Tricia Elizabeth Elliott and husband, Mike, and Billy Jack Boudreau and fiancée, Tatiana, all of Midland. He is also survived by 8 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Interim Hospice, St. Anne's Catholic Church, or a charity of your choice. Memorial service to be live-streamed. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at npwelch.com. Ida Mae Kemper, age 88, of Midland, passed away on August 20th in Midland. Ida was born in Omega, Oklahoma, to Della and Ivan Cross on September 9, 1933. Ida married Alan Corky Brinkmeyer, and together they had 5 children, Aline, Max, Jeff, Melinda, and Craig. In Midland, her friends called her Sam. It was there that she met J. Allen Kemper in an office elevator and then later married him in 1982. Ida was preceded in death by her parents, Della and Ivan Cross, father-in-law J. Marvin Kemper and mother-in-law Ruby Kemper, sister Viola Scott and her husband Louis Scott, sister Hulda Anna Brooks and her husband Lloyd Brooks, son Craig Brinkmeyer, daughter Mindy Dube, son Max Brinkmeyer, granddaughter Iris Brinkmeyer, nephew Larry Scott, nephew Ivan Scott, great-grandson Ty Pierce, and numerous other family members. Ida is survived by husband Alan Kemper, daughter Lynn Brinkmeyer, sons Jeff Brinkmeyer, Brent Kemper, Kevin Kemper, and Brian Kemper, brother-in-law Joe Kemper, 4 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren, 7 great-great-grandchildren. A celebration of Sam's life will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, August 27th at Willowbrook Funeral Home with Pastor Brad Smith officiating. Services entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Lucia Ramirez Rivera, age 87, of Midland, was born in Fort Stockton, Texas. She passed away on August 19th. Viewing will be Thursday, August 25th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and funeral services at 2 p.m. Friday, August 26th, both at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home, 2508 North Big Spring Street in Midland. She goes to join her mother and father, Julian and Denicia Ramirez, brothers Cruz, Tony, and Gregorio Ramirez, her only sister, Adelita Ramirez Campos. She is survived by her sons, Manuel Manny Rivera, Adam Rivera, Freddie Rivera, and Oscar Rivera, daughter Consuelo Connie Rivera Gomez, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Buddy Floyd Hale, age 70, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 20th, in Odessa. Mass service will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, September 5th, at St. Elizabeth Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Harriet Olahide of Midland died on July 26th in Lubbock. Funeral, followed by burial, will be held on August 27th at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home and Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Hugh Ryan Cooper, Jr., also known to friends as Booger, passed away Friday, August 19th. He was 65 years old. Family will be receiving friends and family for visitation on Sunday, August 28th from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel, located at 405 North Terrell Street in Midland. Funeral service will be held on Monday, August 29th at 10 a.m. at the Heavenly Gate Chapel. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Steve Brasher of Odessa died on August 20th in Odessa. A memorial service will be held on August 25th at 1 p.m. at Chapel Hill. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, August 25th. Nacero's clean gas project still a go. Spokesmen say financing difficulty caused postponement. Nacero Incorporated delayed groundbreaking since April for its promised $7 billion clean gasoline plant 15 miles west of Odessa at Pinwell has evoked skepticism about the plant's viability. But two men who ought to know say there is nothing to be alarmed about because the huge financial package is still in the works, held up by the topsy-turvy economy. Odessa Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Director Tom Mansky said Monday that there is residual skepticism from the high-profile FutureGen and Summit Power Group coal gasification schemes at Pinwell, neither of which happened after years of sky-high promises. Sponsors finally pulled the plugs on FutureGen in 2007 and Summit 10 years later. Referring to the $17 billion microchip plant that Samsung had started construction on at Tyler, northwest of Austin, Mansky said they're using their own money at Taylor. But with Nacero being a startup and the financial markets the way they are, it's taking a little longer than we would like. People are asking every day when we will have the groundbreaking, but Nacero is still working on some things that haven't been finalized. They're trying to firm up their financing, which takes a little while in this environment with the stock market going up and down. From my discussions, I don't think there is any indication that it's not going to happen, Mansky said. There is concern with FutureGen and Summit in the background and people having those memories, but there is no reason not to believe what we are being told by the Nacero officials. Wesley Burnett, Director of Project Integration for the Houston-based Nacero and Mansky's predecessor at the chamber, said in a text message that the plan will go through. I don't have an update, said Burnett, who in February, had announced that the groundbreaking would be in March or April and that Governor Greg Abbott was being invited. "We are still moving forward with the project," Burnett said Monday. "There is no groundbreaking schedule yet, but positive progress is being made. It will be a gargantuan thing with 3,500 workers building the plant and 350 working there when it's finished, making 70,000 40-gallon barrels per day during the first phase and 100,000 when phase two is completed. The products will be Nacero Blue, gasoline from traditional purchased natural gas, and Nacero Green from captured flare gas from oil wells and methane from landfills and agricultural facilities, with Nacero Green being the purer of the two forms. Just having been granted an air quality permit by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality last November, Nacero President CEO Jay McKenna said the permit was a major step forward in our effort to become the climate solution for millions of everyday drivers across Texas and the United States, referring to the plan to build and operate Nacero's first low and net zero carbon footprint gasoline plant. McKenna said the Pinwell project was the first of a series of facilities that will bring affordable, lower life cycle carbon gasoline to market. A company spokesman said then that a similar plant would be built near Scranton, Pennsylvania, and others were in the planning stage across the country. Nacero is a Spanish word meaning born. Other developments in the ambitious all-green scenario have included the granting of tax abatements by various Ector County governmental entities and Nacero's signing of a contract with Next Era Energy Resources for the Pinwell plant to be powered by 20 billion kilowatt hours of electricity from Next Era's 20-plus Texas wind and solar farms across the 20 years starting in 2025. The wind power will complement Nacero's planned 200-megawatt on-site solar photovoltaic power plant and ensure that the facility is powered by 100% renewable electricity, the company said in a joint statement. Founded in 2015, Nacero is led by a team with more than 400 years of combined successful project experience across the clean power renewables, liquefied natural gas, fuels, and petrochemicals sectors, a company spokesman said. Mansky said Monday that Pinwell will transform from an oil-filled ghost town to one with truck stops, convenience stores, and other features of a viable town. It will lead to further development, he said. There'll be a big carbon capture project and a couple of other projects. A cement plant on the other side of I-20 is looking at expanding, and there is a potential solar project or two. Asked if the advent of electric vehicles will obviate the need for gasoline, even the cleanly burning type, he said, "I don't think we're going to see everyone go electric overnight. In 50 years, we may visit this again and say, wow, there are not many gasoline vehicles on the road." Mansky was also asked if Nacero is seeking loans from American financial institutions only, or if it was going to foreign sources. "As far as I know, it's only domestic money that is being invested," he said. "If they are getting any foreign money, I am not aware of that." Game rooms dominate meeting again. Game rooms again took up the majority of the Odessa City Council's regularly scheduled meeting Tuesday night. Two council members expressed concerns about the possibility of game rooms continuing to operate with expired business licenses. The city's legal staff is working to create an ordinance that will eventually lead to the elimination of all game rooms within the city limits. The ordinance will stop the issuance of new business permits for game rooms and prohibit existing game rooms from renewing their license once they expire. The council voted 5-2 for the new ordinance upon its first public reading. Council members Dietra White and Mary Willis voted against the ordinance, saying they still have too many questions about it. Both are concerned it doesn't explicitly address what will happen if game rooms continue to operate after their licenses expired. Willis is also still concerned the council may be opening up a lawsuit by passing it. The council has been talking for months about the proliferation of game rooms within the city limits. All are agreed they are unsightly and attract criminals. The council tightened up its game room ordinance in May, but have continued to discuss the possibility of seizing their eight-liner machines because a recent appellate court ruling deemed it illegal. In recent weeks, council members opted to eliminate the businesses through a new ordinance rather than wait for the Texas Supreme Court to take up the matter of their legality. City Attorney Natasha Brooks and Senior Assistant City Attorney Dan Jones have warned the city will likely be sued over the new ordinance, as no legal precedent currently exists to support it. In response to White's and Willis's concerns, Councilman Steve Thompson asked if the city could bump up the existing penalties for operating without a license, but was told no. Odessa Police Chief Mike Gerke told council members that in recent weeks, 16 game rooms have had their business permits revoked. 13 of those were revoked after organized criminal activity and gambling cases were filed against them, and 3 were revoked because they violated the city ordinance that expressly states the game rooms can't have a member assembly number. These 3 game rooms actually told our officers that they were only allowing members because undercover police officers were coming in and gambling and closing businesses, Gerke said. A 17th business voluntarily closed down and officers were told they were moving, the chief said. Up until recently, there were roughly 30 game rooms operating within the city limits. Willis said she wanted to make clear she isn't against illegal activity, but she is concerned about the continuing discussions on the ordinance. We're repeatedly going back and forth, which, to me, tells me that we as a council have not given due diligence to this that we're doing. Willis said, every week we have a different question. Every week we have a different thing we want to investigate. The councilwoman said she knows there are those on the council who have said they don't care about lawsuits, but she does. That comment prompted council member Mark Mata and Steve Thompson and Mayor Javier Hoven to interject that they do. We care about it. I don't think anybody said we don't care about it, Hoven said. In earlier discussions, Hoven has said game rooms would be welcome to challenge the city of Odessa if it were to seize machines because he believes the games are illegal, and at least one appellate court in Texas agrees. The mayor also said he believes the fact the council is asking so many questions shows they are giving the matter due diligence. Brooks assured the council they've met and discussed the proposed ordinance multiple times and included Gerke in those discussions. Every time we read over this, we see things that can be better and that will always happen with any document you produce, Brooks said. Now the staff will take one last look at the draft and submit it to the council before next Tuesday's workshop meeting. The council also took the following actions Tuesday. Agreed to annex 281 acres of land southeast of Northeast Loop 338 and U.S. Highway 385. A developer is planning to build 1,079 single-family homes. Entered into an agreement with Sci-Fi Networks, the company will install a citywide broadband network at no expense to the city. The 30-year agreement will require the company to pay the city $8,000 a quarter or $2.99 per connected premises per quarter, whichever is greater. The company agreed to begin in those areas of the city without good internet service and or in low-income areas. Sean Parker, Vice President of Government Affairs for Sci-Fi, said during the council's workshop meeting on August 16th, the network will have open access which will allow for lower pricing and improved competition amongst internet providers. Quick Hits COVID-19 Clinic. The Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled a back-to-school COVID-19 vaccine clinic for ages 6 months and older from 8 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. each Thursday throughout August and September. Visit tinyurl.com/54TSK5SK. Tourism Meeting. Discover Odessa has scheduled a tourism development meeting from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. today at the Holiday Inn Express and Suites, 1800 U.S. 385 on I-20. Guest speaker will be City Manager Michael Marrero. To RSVP, email erica@discoverodessa.org or visit discoverodessa.org. Health Fair Fundraiser. The annual Health Fair Fundraiser benefiting the senior centers has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. today at the Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue. The event is open to the public. For more information, call 432-337-5281. The Power of You Conference. Odessa Links has scheduled the 9th annual community conference, The Power of You, with guest speaker Patricia Ann Vasquez, president, co-founder of Star Focus USA, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. today at the MCM Elegante Hotel, 5200 East University Boulevard. Tickets are $100. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/y4nkt5vf. Oil and Gas Hiring Event. Oil and Gas Hiring Event has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. today at the MCM Grande Fundome, 6201 East Business, I-20. Visit PermianBasinHiringEvents.com. Midland County Fair. The Midland County Fair has been scheduled today through Sunday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Tickets into the fair are $5 each day or $10 after 5 p.m. on Saturday. For full schedule of events or more information, visit MidlandCoFair.com. Dracula Auditions. Odessa College Theater has scheduled auditions for the fall production, Dracula, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. today and Friday at the Block Box at the Globe Theater, 2308 Shakespeare Road. Drop-in Cole Reads. Visit tinyurl.com/br4shcz3.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.